Well, hey everybody, it's Donna Partow, and I'm welcoming you to day 11. We're like halfway to day 21, right? Day 11 of Make This Your Best Year Ever. And today is a transition day. We spent the first 10 looking at the foundation, my seven-step system for achieving any goal. My seven-step system for getting things done. And I pray it's a blessing. And I think you really got it. After 10 days of camping out there, I believe that all of you have a really good sense of what it takes to actually put some feet to your faith and get things done. And this is a resource that will be yours for life. All of my classes, the materials are yours for life. All of the videos, the audios, that website. You can come back to this over and over again. And I am absolutely certain that I will offer this every new year. And I hope that you'll come back, because there really is something about being with a group doing this as opposed to just studying it on your own. And I hope you'll come back year after year and be part of a group of people who come together and for 21 days in January, just get a fresh vision, fresh wind, fresh fire for the coming year, because your life is worth it. And I thank all of you who've been part of this. It's just really been a blessing. You've been such a joy. And this has been fun. And I believe it's a resource for the body of Christ that I pray will bless many, many people in the years to come. And today we begin to switch gears. And I'm going to lay some foundations, get really going to stretch your thinking in a lot of ways. And then tomorrow, I think I'm going to start delving into Nehemiah. I wrote a book on the book of Nehemiah. It's called Extracting the Precious from Nehemiah. It's an inductive Bible study, part of a series of inductive Bible studies that I wrote several years ago. And we'll be kind of looking at Nehemiah as our example, as someone who was in a job, and it was a very trustworthy job, required a lot of integrity, but it was kind of mundane. I mean, his job was, here's your cup, here's your cup, here's your cup, here's your cup, here's your cup. That was his job. And we'll watch him go through a number of career changes, a number of different positions of responsibility. And we'll look at the things that change, but also the things that stay the same in Nehemiah's life. And we'll observe how all he can do is build with the bricks that he's given. And it's just such a powerful tool, because all of us need to build or even to rebuild. All of us, every day, we're either building or rebuilding. And the way to do it is with bricks. I mean, there are a lot of other materials that people can use, but if you really want it to stand the test of time, your best bet is probably bricks and stones. You know, material that stood the test of time. And that's what we need to build our lives with. You know, back to basics, the Word of God, the presence of God, the principles of His Word, the simple basic truths are just the simple basic truths. And those are the foundational building blocks that we need to live a life that matters and a life that counts. So today will be kind of transitional, and I want to just get you thinking. And then tomorrow, we're going to look at different, not just Nehemiah, we're going to bring in some other people. And I believe it's going to be really powerful. And while we're doing the teaching, I want you to be continuing on toward the fulfillment of your 21-day goal, wherever you are in that. If you want today to be day one of your 21 days of actually implementing, because now you've got all seven steps, that's fine. If you're already into the 21 days, that's great. It doesn't matter. But have 21 days that you are really all in it to win it, and going after that first project that you're going to accomplish or really going after the establishment of a firm foundation of new habits and a new daily routine, a new way of showing up. Really go all in for it as we kind of marinate in the Word of God and glean more principles to just shore up, you know, shore up the foundations around you as you are building to make this your best year ever. So we can't do that. We can't do anything without God. So let's invite His presence here. So Holy Spirit, we ask you to do what you do best, and that is lead, guide, counsel your people. Thank you that you bring conviction, but that you add no sorrow to it. You bring us to repentance, but there's no sorrow. There's no need for regret. There's no need for self-recrimination. There's no place for any of that in the lives of your children. We just need to come into your presence and you show us where we need to course correct. And we simply agree with you and say, you know what? God, you're absolutely right. That's where I've been missing the mark. That's what needs to change. Thank you for showing me. Now I know how to move forward. We don't need to look back. We need to look forward. So Holy Spirit, thank you that you gently and lovingly lead your people and you bring correction for our benefit. And everything that you show us is for our healing and for our benefit. Every word that is written in the Bible, it's all there for our benefit. Every command of God is for our good. And so we ask you today to just bring a tiny bit of a course correction. This is definitely going to be an eye opener today. So I ask you, would you be gracious to your people? And would you set a guard over my lips that the words that I speak would be, even though they're strong, that they would be delivered with love, and that I would be empowered by your Spirit to be gracious, and that nothing of me would come through, not be too Jersey girl here, but that it would truly be a move of your Spirit. And may your people have ears to hear and hearts to receive and a will and a determination to make the needed changes, even the difficult ones. And I ask you to be near today, not for my sake, but for the sake of your kingdom, and that the name of Jesus would be glorified through our lives and in all the earth. Amen. Amen. Day 11. Here we go. Remember to ask, why is this just perfect? And your new question. Don't lose sight of this. So foundational. We said that we wanted to retrain our brain. That was, you know, the second highest. Number one, you wanted a vision and a plan for this year. And if you've been playing along, you've got that now. You've got it. And the second thing you said you wanted, I'm listening. You wanted to retrain your brain. And so every day, I'm going to remind you to be asking your new question. When you put your head on your pillow every night, reflect on that new question. I'm getting in that habit now. I used to lay in bed and think, oh, what didn't I do today? I'm such a loser. I hate myself. Now I'm, okay, what was good about today? And I reflect over the entire day. What was good about today? What did God enable me to do? Where did God show up? What was good about today? I used to lay there and think about all the things that were wrong with me and wrong with my day and wrong with my kids and wrong with the world and toss and turn and be frustrated. I'm just being honest. And now I intentionally, proactively, my head hits the pillow. What am I asking? What was good about today? In fact, one of the last things I do before I shut my computer down, I go on to my Google form, and my Google form is all questions about what did you do good today? What did you get done? How would you rate the day? How'd it go? Focus on the positive. Last question I ask myself before I shut it down, I have a list, but the last one is, what was good about today? Retraining my brain. By putting those questions before myself every day, I'm forcing myself. What was good? What worked? What did I do? What can I say? Yay me. The devil wants you to go, he wants your head hitting the pillow in defeat. God wants your head hitting the pillow. He wants you to lay down and sleep in peace. He blesses his people with good night's sleep. Insomnia is not from God. And you know, maybe you need the 90-day renewal clause. I don't know. But this will help you. Ask that good, uplifting, positive new question. Maybe you put your head on the pillow and say, what was perfect about today? How did God perfect my character today? I'm so happy that God is showing me the things that have been costing me. He's showing me because he loves me. And these are the things that now, with God's help, in the power of the Holy Spirit and the fruit that's growing in me as I spend time in his presence each day, these are the things that are going to change, and my life is going to change, and it's going to be glorious. So do that. Do that when your head hits the pillow. Somebody write that down. Real practical, super practical. Great way to retrain your brain and to get a better night's sleep. Want to share a couple testimonies. I appreciate you guys. These testimonies are going to live on. These recordings that I'm making right now, I'm hoping, praying 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now, you know, people will still be watching these and hearing your testimony. So please share. This is from Lynette. She says, I was amazed at the process that resulted in a vision statement. Most people have not even thought about this. Yeah, you're right. They haven't. I was excited to have this verbalized and written down. Has everybody done that? Have you? I really hope you have. Write the vision and make it plain. Have you made your vision board? You guys have been so creative. One lady took church bulletin boards. Another took magazine pictures. Another found a tool on the internet that, you know, enabled her to create a vision board. Another found a tool on the internet that enabled her to create a vision video. Doesn't matter how you do it, but please get this done. Please get this done this week. Don't just say, yeah, that's great. Great idea. Vision board. No, do it. She says, I don't think I would have gotten to this point so easily and so comprehensively without the process contained in this program. So way to go. This is your year. This is going to be your best year ever. I love what Christine says. She says, I love you. She loves me. Thank you. I'm glad somebody loves me. You know, we all want to be loved. And how this class is so life-changing. You're stirring up my vision and the faith. Here we go. My vision and the faith to take action to do it. We need both. The vision and the plan, and then implementing the plan. You are impacting not only us, but all the lives we will impact. Exactly. And the same is true of you. As you step out and do what God has called you to do, you're going to impact not only that person, but all the people that they're going to come in contact with. She goes on to say, I love the men and women in this class. You all spur me on. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Wonderful. So encouraging. And then this, I love. Christine says, last night I went to sleep around 9:30 and woke up again about 45 minutes later to, it's a perfect day, kind of a phone call for my son. After praying, I was able to go back to sleep. I wasn't able to go back to sleep. So I decided to listen to the day's recording from Donna. Good decision. If you're not falling asleep anyway, may as well get up and do something. It took me over 2 hours to listen to the recording as I would pause it, set the alarms on my phone, label them, listen some more, pause the recording and pray. This is the way to do it. Guys, I would much rather have you take one day's teaching and do it like Christine just said, press into it, just stop the recording and implement. I would much rather have you do that with one recording than to try to listen to all, you know, 15 recordings and not actually implement anything. I mean that. You will get so much more out of this class if you take one day and really implement it. That's the difference. The information is great. I pray that there's an impartation and the anointing of God and the presence of God and that you want to marinate in all of these teachings and listen to them over and over again. That's great. But the key is the implementation. And so I love this, you know, this strategy and the way Christine went about it. And I think that a lot of you should do this. And that's the great thing about the replay. Stop the recording. Say, okay, now I'm going to do this right now. Like yesterday, we talked about, you know, your funeral. Stop the recording and write out, what do I want my kids to say? Okay, I've got that. Play. Next, Donna talks about, you know, what are the people in my church going to say? Okay, stop the recording. Let me write down that. This is the really much more powerful, the implementation, and not just listening. She continues, like I said, this went on for over 2 hours. The exciting part is that God gave me the title for my book. I checked Amazon. There's nothing by that title. So I'm going to contact Fiverr to have the cover designed. Yeah, come on, people. It's $5. $5. $5 for your vision? It's worth it. She's even got the subtitle. He confirmed my topic through Donna as she continued talking. I'm so excited. I am now dreaming bigger than I ever have. I hope that's true of all of you. Are you daring to dream God-sized dreams? He's a big God and he does big stuff. I have my list of what I need to do and God's list of what's beyond my ability to do. I like that. I think this is a great idea and I'd love to see a bunch of you do it. Make two lists. Make a list of all the things that are possible, and you better get your little buns in gear doing all that's possible, and then have another list of all the things that are impossible. And then you just pray and believe God to handle those. See, what we do, and I'm the same, I'm the worst, actually. I spend so much time thinking about God's list. Hey, God, when, God, when, how, God, how, why, God, why haven't you yet? What are you doing? What are you thinking? Are you mad at me? You know, that's my big thing. I'm always afraid God's disappointed in me. And I'm sure that I adore my dad. We had a wonderful relationship. We healed when I was a freshman in college. He reconciled. He came and sought me out and we reconciled. But it had been rocky. My relationship with my dad was really, really rocky up until that moment when we had our reconciliation lunch. And I think that's probably where that comes from. But it doesn't matter. The point is, I need to get past that and let go of what I think, you know, my Father in heaven needs to be doing and just trust him. He's going to do what he's going to do. When, how, where he's going to do it. I don't need to concern myself with that stuff. I need to stay focused on what I can do, the possible. And this would be a great thing for all of you to do. I actually see some of you doing this. You're focusing all your energy on God's job and not doing a whole lot with your part. Never kid a kidder. I do the same thing. I do it too. Oh, yes. No more studying and studying and studying. I am ready to do this. I am doing this. My best year ever. I believe it. I see it. You go, girl. Step one, clarify your vision. Have your vision board. Get it done. Did you get it done? You're going to lay down in bed. If you don't, tonight your head will hit the pillow and you'll be like, I didn't do my vision board. I'm getting back up and looking for magazines. Step two, your plan. Not enough to have a big vision. Got to have a plan. Because if you don't have a plan for your life, everybody else will. Create a measuring system because what gets measured improves. Track your progress because what you track stays on track. And what you don't track, guess what? Goes off the rails. Establish accountability. Have you found an accountability partner? Have you? Come in and tell us about it. Stop by the Facebook group. Be accountable to us. When I post up a question, you know, engage, answer. Let us know how you're doing. Monitor your milestones. Celebrate your achievements. Guys, I want to hear about these celebrations you're planning. I want to hear about it. I want to celebrate with you. And then yesterday we covered impart your gifts to impact the world. This is a word that God gave me. Somebody had prayed over me and said, you know, God says you're a star. And I was like, okay, well, what does that mean? How am I going to be a star? How am I going to shine for God? And began praying about that. And of course, God took me to, you know, do everything without arguing and complaining. But then he gave me this little acronym. How can I shine like a star for God? And this is mine. And if this helps some of you, great. Sow seeds. every day I need to be sowing seeds. Now, in my case, this will look different for you. In my case, sowing seeds is anything that I invest, any truth, any encouragement, any teaching that I invest in the life of a potential student at WEU. Okay, because my garden is WEU, right? This is what I'm in charge of right now. The task that God has given me is to create a well-watered garden for God's people, a place where the living water is flowing and people are being rooted and grounded in the love of God, going deep, getting roots deep in the presence and power of God so that they can be fruitful, right? That's my calling, and this is where that is. So anytime I create an infographic and put it up on Instagram and Facebook, anytime I do a Periscope and just invite anybody all over the world who wants to come and listen to whatever God is giving me for beach therapy, it's been too cold lately to do that. Anytime I do a webinar and they're free and I teach for an hour and then pray for 2 hours, all of that is just sowing seeds and believing, you know, that someday those people are going to come and be and grow in my garden and then tend to the garden. What I'm doing right now, when I come into the Facebook group, when I engage with you, I'm tending the garden. Anything that I do to make the soil here, and that includes my own time with God and making sure I'm pressing into the presence of God so that I can create a well-watered garden where you can grow. And the food and water that I bring to you, that's all part of tending the garden. So sowing seeds is what I do for people who aren't even part of WEU. And then tending the garden is what I do for my students. And then always pray for the harvest. So see, again, it's both. It's yes, we're praying, but we're also working. We've got to work and pray, work and pray. We pray as we work. And we work as we pray. It's that they're not mutually exclusive. That Mary and Martha is an old dichotomy. It's not either I'm praying or I'm working. Either I'm sitting at Jesus' feet or I'm getting some work done. That's an old dichotomy. It doesn't apply because Jesus lives in me now. So I could do both. I could be praying and working, working and praying at the same time. And then repeat. Just wake up every day and do it again. So maybe somebody wants to borrow this. What does that look like in your life and in your ministry? Just helpful. Helpful little acronym that I use, and every day I'm like, okay, how did I shine today? I may do my whole shine thing. Some of you have heard this, but I also have a shine part. I have my shine part, and then I have my shine, like my star part of it. But anyway, day 11, God wants to bless you. And we hear this a lot. God wants to bless you and make you a blessing, and we want the blessings of God to chase us down the street and overtake us. But here's kind of a little bit of a different take on it here today. God wants to bless you. He wants to bless you with responsibility, the ability to respond to your life circumstances with wisdom. He wants to give you responsibility, the ability to respond to life circumstances with wisdom, to make you response able to respond to whatever happens to you in a way that moves you forward instead of causing you to end up stuck. And today's teaching is going to be a little bit controversial, but I really, in 35 years of ministry, see it all the time. I see this is where people get stuck. Because you aren't, God does not make you able to respond to someone else's problems unless he's called you to do that. Let me dive into this. The key passage is, let me give you it's Matthew 25. It's a long one and I almost didn't read the whole thing, but we're not going to shortchange the word of God and get ahead of the game here. Donna, you got to wonder. It's also like a man going off on an extended trip. He called his servants together and delegated. What? What did he delegate? Responsibilities. This is a picture of God. And what does God give people? What does God give his servants? Responsibilities. To one, he gave $5,000, to another, $2,000, and to a third 1,000, depending on their abilities. Who is responsible for your abilities? He didn't say it was according to their innate talent or natural giftings. It was according to their ability. Ability is something that you develop. You may have talent, natural born, but an ability, that's a skill. And we develop skill. God gives us gifts, but we take those gifts and we develop them into skills. And this is the part that a lot of Christians miss. I want to be a writer. Okay, well, how many writing classes have you taken? How much time have you spent actually writing? I'll give you an example. I went from the time I was a little girl, I wanted to be a writer. And I ended up, my start was writing sales proposals for the bank, marketing proposals, bond presentations, technical writing. But then I started doing commercial copywriting, writing press releases, writing advertisements. And they didn't put up with any nonsense about, oh, well, that's the sentence God gave me. Like, they're like, we're paying you. You make the sentence work. You couldn't be attached to your writing. Well, I can't change it because that's just really what I'm feeling. That, I mean, that's what's flowing. No nonsense. You had to develop skill. I developed skill as a writer in the workplace, on the playing field of corporate America, where you couldn't, you know, throw out a bunch of Christianese and get slide with, how do I say this? Shoddy work, and then just say it's the Lord. And they're like, well, I don't care if it's the Lord or the devil. This sentence isn't good enough, so rewrite it. Developing skill. So he gave them responsibilities and resources based on the level of skill that they had taken the time and effort to develop. And then he left. Right off, the first servant went to where? Went to work and doubled his master's investment. The second did the same. But the man with the single thousand dug a hole and carefully buried his master's money. He didn't want to take any risks. He didn't want to put himself out there. And I'm telling you right now, I see it every day. Christians, they don't want to put themselves out there. They make a million excuses. Oh, I've got a word from the Lord, and I've got this, and I've got that. They haven't developed the skill. And then they don't want to put themselves out there. They play it safe. They don't want to risk rejection. They don't want to risk failure. After a long absence, the master of those three servants came back and settled up with them. The one given $5,000 showed him how he had doubled his investment. Why did God give him the most? Because he had developed the most skill and therefore could be trusted with the most responsibility. That's why God gave him the most. It wasn't random and it wasn't based on innate talent. It was based on the ability that he had developed. Does this make sense? His master commended him. Good work. You did your job well. From now on, be my partner. That's a pretty big promotion. Who were these guys? Let's go back. Servants. These were three servants. Now he says, you're not going to be my servant anymore. Now I want you to be my partner. That is a huge promotion. And yes, promotion is from the Lord. But who does God promote? The person who is diligent to develop their skill And then the person who's willing to not only develop their skill, but make an intelligent investment, even if it means taking a little bit of a risk, but they've got enough skill that it's calculated risk. God says, I'm going to give you a huge promotion. Because you did two things. You developed skill, and then based on that skill, you were able to take a calculated risk, and it paid off for you. So I'm going to give you a big promotion. You showed me that you could be, you were response able. You were able to respond to the challenge that I set before you. You were able to respond in a way that paid off. So now I'm going to give you more opportunities. Just like Jesus said, to whom much is given, much is respected, but he gives even more. He gives them even more because they were able to respond. They were response able. The servant with the 2,000 showed how he also had handled his master's investment. His master commended him. Good work. You did your job well. This guy also gets a promotion. From now on, be my partner. And God can promote you overnight. Overnight. I was sitting there still writing I was working for Coldwell Banker. I was doing press releases for Coldwell Banker. I was writing an employee newsletter for Prudential. I was writing Melita Coffee. I was writing advertisements and the copy for their coffee filters that would go on the box for Melita Coffee. That's what I was doing. That's what I was doing. When God plucked me up out of obscurity and gave me a book contract with Focus on the Family and catapulted me onto Focus on the Family, I did that radio show. It was the largest response in the history of the show up until that time. But what was I doing? I was being diligent to develop my skill. Just doing commercial copywriting and advertisements and coffee filter and, you know, I found once in a while I'd get Craig plunge boldly into the arena of life and then would have someone plunging into a cup of coffee. I don't know. Does this make sense? I was diligently developing my skill. Yes, I was praying. Yes, I was believing. All of those things. We pray and we work. We believe and we're diligent. Both are important. And sometimes God will, and we're going to see that in Nehemiah. Just be diligent with whatever God gives you. He was diligent as a cupbearer. Do you know what a cupbearer did? They said, here's your cup, 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 here's your cup. I mean, he went from there to the governor. But God saw his diligence and his integrity. He had a mundane job, but it was the most trusted job because what would be the easiest way to kill the king? Bribe the cupbearer into letting you put some poison in that cup. So even though it was a mundane job, it required the utmost of integrity to prevent the person he was, to prevent the king from being poisoned. The servant given 1,000 said, Master, I know you have high standards and hate careless ways, and I just don't think I'm good enough. I just don't think I have what it takes. That you demand the best and make no allowances for error. I was afraid, so spirit of fear. I might disappoint you. It's time we be honest, not with me, but just with your own heart. Is this where you are right now? Are you in a place where you're afraid that what you have to offer isn't good enough? I don't think what I have to bring is valuable. The answer, and I say this in love, the answer isn't sitting there. The answer is developing skill. If you don't think what you have to offer is good enough, get better at it. The answer is developing skill. The answer is being diligent. The answer isn't hiding. Well, let's see what you, I mean, don't take my word for it. What does Jesus say? He's like, look, I was really afraid. He's insecure. Basically, that's what he's saying. I'm insecure. I was afraid I might disappoint you. That's insecurity. And because I was insecure, I found a good hiding place. Now, come on. When you're insecure, you run and you hide. And you won't take risks because you're so afraid to fail. How does God feel about that? What's God's perspective? Like, we're all the same. And when God gives us a challenge and says, I know you're able to respond. If you would dig deep and develop some skill and be diligent and operate with integrity and show up every day and give it your best, you are able to respond to this opportunity that I'm going to put before you. Because I'm going to give you a, notice God gave this one a smaller opportunity. God knew. He knew, maybe this guy can't handle 5,000, but God knows what you can handle. And if God is challenging you to step up, then you are response-able. If you would set aside the fear and refuse to operate from a place of insecurity, you are able to do it. Otherwise, God wouldn't have given you the assignment. Does this make sense? The master in the story has already adjusted and made allowances for the fact that different people are at different places. And that's okay. Some people can operate at a really high level with $5,000. Some people, they're just not there yet. They're still down at the 1,000 level. That's okay. He wasn't mad at the guy who operated at the $2,000 level. He said, yeah, you did great. With the skills and the resources and the talents that you've got right now, okay, you did great. I'm going to give you the same promotion I gave the guy who did, 10 times what you just did. So if God is calling you and challenging you in an area, it means you are able to rise to it. Otherwise, he wouldn't have given it to you. But you have to make the choice. He says, I was afraid. I didn't want to disappoint you. I didn't want to fail. I didn't want to end up looking stupid. So I just hid. I mean, I know so many of God's people, they're just hiding. How does God see it? What's God's perspective? Here it is, safe and sound. I didn't take any risks. Here's the opportunity you gave me. I'm throwing it right back to you. I have people do this to me all the time. I try to give them a responsibility. They hit the ball right back in my court. I have someone I've been working with for years, and every time I try to give her a responsibility, she hits it right back into my court. Now, I'm not doing it anymore. I've already made my decision this year. Not playing that game. If you're not going to step up and run with the ball and do something with it, I'm not going to give you any more opportunities. And it's always, I'm afraid, I don't think I know how. Well, you know what? Find out how. Now, I don't know how. I don't think I can. Well, figure it out. Step up. The master was furious. Wow. See, wouldn't you think that we in our mindset, we think, you would feel, how many of you feel sorry for this guy? Oh, you poor thing. You're afraid. You're insecure. Okay. Well, that's not, pat him on the head. Okay. That's not what God says. I think God's from New Jersey. I mean, he must be from North Jersey. The master was furious and said, that's a terrible way to live. It's criminal to live cautiously like that. If you knew I was after the best, then why did you do less than the least? The least you could have done would have been to invest the sum with the bankers where at least I would have gotten a little interest. Take the $1,000 and give it. Does he say, well, this poor guy, I mean, he's got nothing. He's so beat down. Let's give him a handout. No. Take the $1,000 and give it to the one who risked the most. And get rid of this play. This is harsh. I know this is tough, but this is the Bible, right? Get rid of this play it safe who won't go out on a limb. Throw him into utter darkness. Wow. This is hard. This is hard for me to even read. This is hardcore. But God is trying to say something here. He's trying to say, you know what? Step up. Step up. If you don't think you're good enough, guess what? The answer isn't hiding. The answer is get better. Get better. Find a way to develop your skill. Get some training. Get some practice. You don't know how to play basketball? Go shoot a million hoops. Get better at it. Playing it safe is not the answer. Hiding isn't the answer. Small ball isn't the answer. God's going to meet you right where you are, but loves you too much to leave you there. And when God meets you where you are and says, okay, let's get in the game. Let's go for this thing. He's not really all that happy when you make a bunch of excuses and say, well, I'm just too insecure. I can't do it. I can't do anything. I just, I'm not good enough. Well, if you're not good enough, get better. Get better. Does this make sense to anybody? I know I'm preaching to somebody, and this is a strong word. I knew it was going to be another strong word. I'm praying that God would let's get that day where it's really easy. But this is a strong one. Key points. God commends risk. The voice that says play it safe is not God's voice. The voice that says play it safe, not God's voice. And God's looking for results. Right? While it's true that God sees our heart, He also sees our results. What was the master looking for? Results. God applauds diligence in the Old and New Testament. From start to finish, God honors the diligent. Are you diligent? Lazy hands make for poverty. Diligent hands bring wealth. The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. Faithfulness results in promotion. Faithfulness results in promotion. Being willing to put yourself out there, do the best you can. Notice God made the faithful servants His business partners. Again, quite a promotion. The Bible tells us where promotion comes from. It doesn't come from your boss. Psalm 75 tells us promotion comes neither from the east nor from the west nor from the south. But God is the judge. He puts down one and sets up another. Promotion is from the Lord. And who does God promote? The faithful and the diligent. Those who show up and work and work and work and work and work and do their best. Even in a mundane task. Again, Nehemiah's job, very mundane. Joseph was running a prison. Pretty, down in a dungeon, down in a pit. But God saw his diligence and faithfulness, and he saw him developing skill and developing integrity. God can promote you overnight. Overnight. Promotion always leads to greater responsibility. See, this is how it works. You show yourself able to handle and to respond to your current circumstances with grace, with integrity, with diligence, then you get a promotion and you get more responsibilities. And you get a promotion, you get more responsibilities. Notice the master said, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more, what? Responsibilities. The roar. Some of you are like, whoa, I'm not so sure I want, oh no. I was thinking maybe a day off. I was thinking a week. That's why responsibility is something good. In our culture says it's something that we should shirk. But that's not the way God sees it. God sees responsibilities as a blessing. That's his idea of a reward. You did great, great. I'm going to reward you with more responsibility. But responsibility means more opportunity. More people to bless. Let's celebrate together. Matthew 25:23. Isn't this amazing? A lot of us think of responsibility as a curse or a punishment, but no. God sees it as a gift and something to celebrate because you're able to impact more and more lives and partner with God at a higher level. And when you're partnering with God at a higher level, He invests more in you. He invests more in your development. You're partnering with Him in a bigger way. He's showing up in your life in a bigger way. Your intimacy with Him is growing. Right? The senior vice presidents, I mean, they're really interacting with that CEO in a much more intimate way. I mean, God loves all His children, but I think he's making a point here that He's looking for co-laborers. And it really is a joy to partner with God. It really is a joy and a privilege to do great things for God. C.T. Studd said, attempt great things for God, expect great things from God. I'll say it again, attempt great things for God, expect great things from God. When you are attempting greater things, you can expect God to show up in a greater way. It's just true. It's just true because God wants us in the family business. God wants you in the family business. And He wants to give you more and more responsibilities and elevate you higher and higher and higher and higher and higher in the family business. Tim Tebow, hard work beats talent when talent won't work hard. Again, what were these people given responsibilities based on? Their natural born talent? No. Their abilities, the skills that they had developed. So this is really important, and I'm not going to have a lot of time on this because we're running out, but I really think it's important that we clarify what is our responsibility and what's not. This, especially for women, Christian women, really bogs us down. And I'm telling you right now, it's a trick of the enemy. Especially if there's a huge call on your life, the enemy is going to send a never-ending parade of people who try to pawn off their responsibilities onto you so that you are so bogged down doing for other people things that they should be doing for themselves, that you have no time to carry out the assignment of God on your life. This is, again, the devil's not creative. He's got the same old bag of tricks, and this is a huge one. God cannot promote you and give you greater responsibility in His kingdom if you are bogged down handling other people's responsibilities. This is huge. The Bible tells us in Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens. But that word burdens is baros, and it means a crushing weight. It means something so enormous that no one could possibly be expected to handle that situation. In those cases, we need to rally and we need to help that person. Absolutely. But three verses later, it brings it into balance and says, for every man shall bear his own burden. Is the Bible contradicting itself? No, it's a different word. That's fortune, like your portion. The expected amount of weight every soldier was required to carry in his backpack. It's talking about basic life responsibilities. I can remember teaching a lot of these principles in another class and getting to the part about dire consequences. And how many women said, well, my dire consequence is going to be to clean my son's room. I'm like, are you joking? That's crazy. That's crazy. Wait, that's not a dire consequence. That's insanity. Why would you clean your son's room? Why? That's nuts. But this is what the devil does. He confuses us. Your son's room is not a baros. It's not a crushing weight. That's not something you should help him carry. Now, going down to the homeless shelter and helping the staff there with a crushing weight of caring for all of these homeless people, or going down to the Salvation Army and working in their soup kitchen to help them with the crushing weight of trying to feed all these people every day. Going to Africa and helping food for the hungry feed all these people dying of AIDS, but your son's room, I mean, that's his fortune. I mean, that's what he's supposed to be doing. That's not your dire consequence. That's his fortune. And this is how the enemy gets especially Christian women bogged down. He gets us bogged down with his craziness. So fuzzy, so confused. Well, I'm helping. No, if you're cleaning your son's room, you are definitely not helping your son. Right? I mean, I'm not crazy, am I? If you're cleaning your son's room, you're not helping your son. You're hurting him. Yeah, because you're confusing Barros and fortune, and you're making it easy for him to get confused about that too. You're convincing him that his little fortune is a baros. And we're doing this as a society. And I want to say this too, that if a person is facing a long-term ongoing problem, something that they're going to have to be dealing with for more than a couple of months, then it likely falls in the category of fortune. Again, parents with adult children, and one of the adult children is out of work, and you know, maybe they want to come live with you for a couple months, but after a couple months, it's not a baros anymore. After a couple months, that's their fortune, and they need to go out and figure it out on their own. They are responsible to figure that out. There needs to be a statute of limitations on it. And I talk with people all the time. You know, they're grown, you know, their 30-year-old son and his wife and five kids are still living with them. But that's fine for a few months, but at some point it becomes their fortune. And it's not a baros anymore. No matter how difficult, that person has to step up and learn a new way of living with God's help, not yours. Because as long as you're bogged down in someone else's fortune, God's like, well, I guess you're not available. I was going to give you a great promotion. I was going to give you an opportunity to be promoted in my kingdom. I was going to give you an opportunity to partner with me in my kingdom in a really big way. But it seems like you're spending 24/7 carrying other people's fortunes and portions. You're too busy. Sorry. It's not that God doesn't want to promote you in the kingdom. It's that you're bogged down, and the enemy will do this. Some of you have been trapped in this pattern for as long as you can remember. And this is the biggest trick in the United States right now. It's parents bogged down in their kids, adult children's fortunes. And I'm going to get to that in a minute. Warning, none of us should be doing for anyone something they should be doing for themselves. None of us should be doing for anyone something they should be doing for themselves. Why? Because while we are busy carrying other people's basic responsibilities, two things are happening. First, we are robbing that person of a blessing, because God says responsibility is a gift. God says responsibility is a blessing, that it's good for our character and it grows us and helps us to become the person we're supposed to be. And I could go on an entire rant, but I'm not going to. God honors and rewards those who behave responsibly. So when we make it easy for people to be irresponsible, we are robbing them of the honor and the reward that God would bless them with. We are robbing them of a blessing. Are we doing them a favor? Are we doing them a favor by robbing them of a blessing? So we are literally blocking the blessings of God from flowing into their lives. All the while, the devil is telling us what good Christian people we are. Because he's a liar. He lies. See how he deceives us? We are also preventing the work of perfecting character that's a necessary part of Christian maturity, because then you've got the man holding out for his dream job. No, you need to go dig a ditch. You need to go donate your plasma. You need to do whatever you need to do to provide for your children, because that's your responsibility. Maybe you need to go, you know, work overseas. I don't know what you need to do, but you need to step up and provide for your family. And when you do, God will honor and reward you because you're behaving responsibly. Meanwhile, he's in the basement doing a, you know, 10-month job search for his dream job. I'm giving you specific examples of I've heard so many times. Now, you don't need your dream job. Take the next Greyhound bus to North Dakota, okay? Because there's plenty of jobs. And, I don't like the cold. Well, you know, okay. God will honor you and reward you all the more because you love the beach and you're living in North Dakota for the sake of your children and taking responsibility and owning your life. I know I'm preaching to somebody here. You're not helping them. Remember, the word adult children is an oxymoron. There's no such thing as adult children. They're either adults or they're children, but they're not both. And I think that phrase, I don't like it. Which one are they? Are they adults or are they children? And a lot of you, the reason, that the one thing, and I know I'm being strong here, but I'm telling you in love, because I've watched it, the thing that's holding you back right now, you are so bogged down emotionally, financially, spiritually, and in every other way. You are so codependent and wrapped up into other people's responsibilities that there is no possible way, no matter how we fast and pray and cry, there's no way that God can give you a responsible position in his kingdom. He can't. He can't. And that's number two. When we are carrying other people's responsibilities, we have no time or energy left for those things that God has entrusted to us. That's why I think this whole thing is the devil. God has not anointed you, and he will not empower you to do something he hasn't called you to do. God wants you to work hard, but he wants you to work hard at what he has called you to do. Where God calls, God equips. And finally, God says those who don't accept responsibility, this is huge, will be thrown into utter darkness. That's what he said. You know, take that guy who refused to be responsible, whose excuse was that he was too insecure and didn't have what it takes. He said, you know what? Take him and throw him into utter darkness. It was referring to a specific place. It was that place outside the city gates where the lions prowled around in the darkness, eating the garbage that was thrown outside the walls. You'll end up in a dark place of regret, self-pity, and bitter envy, and you do not want to go there. Far better to be diligent, to develop your ability, take responsibility, and get results. Far better to live your best life. And this is just a real practical assignment. Make a list. What do you do in a typical week? And divide it up into two categories. What are you doing every week that really is your responsibility? The things that God has asked you to do and is going to reward you, honor you, and promote you for? And what are the things that you're doing on a typical week that really are somebody else's responsibility? And every minute that you spend carrying those responsibilities, whether you're carrying them literally, physically, or emotionally, or even spiritually, any time that you're doing that, you're out of the path of God's blessing and promotion. And you may be sincere, but I love you enough to tell you, you're sincerely wrong because you're not helping that person. You are blocking them. Not only are you blocking the blessings of God and the opportunities that God wants to give you to be promoted to more and more responsibility in his kingdom, not only are you blocking yourself from advancing and really positioning yourself to not be obedient, you're not helping that person. You are blocking them because God says responsibility is a gift. God says responsibility is a reward in and of itself. And not only that, that he will honor and bless the person who steps up and takes responsibility. So I know this was a tough one, but I think we needed this before we dive in to Nehemiah. And before we move into really building We need to clear out the rubble. You're going to see with Nehemiah. The first thing they had to do before they could rebuild, they had to clear out the rubble. And I'm the one person who loves you enough to tell you, you need to clear out the rubble. And that rubble is all the fortunes. The rubble is all the fortunes. The piles and piles and piles of little stones. And that's what a fortune is. It's the little stone. It's not a boulder. It's all the piles and piles of little stones of other people's responsibilities. That's what needs to be cleared out. Clear out the rubble so that you can begin rebuilding your own life and stepping into what God has really called you to do. Let me pray. So God, I thank you for this clarity. And I know that this is probably something that not many people have even thought of before. Because we tell ourselves that because we love you and are called according to your purpose, and we're supposed to be servants. God, you know, Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. And we want to serve. And serving is good. But enabling is not. And serving is good, but crippling people and hindering your work in their life is not good. And I pray that you would give us great clarity about when are we called to serve? We're called to serve when someone has a real burden, when someone is truly in a crisis or is faced with a situation that no one should handle or face alone. They've got a diagnosis of cancer. I mean, they've got some dire, they've just given birth to triplets. They've just lost their job. They've just lost their house. They've just, you know, been hit with a tornado. I mean, they've just faced something. They've just found out their husband has had an affair. They've just found out their child is on drugs, and they have just this crushing burden. Yes, we need to serve and to lift, come together as a body of Christ and lift that off them. But then we lift off that big burden and boulder. And then there's a whole bunch of pebbles, and they're just going to have to find a way to deal with that themselves. And you're going to help them. And you're going to help them. You'll empower, not us. Not us. Because then they're looking to us. And they need to be looking to you. And I pray that you would really, really empower your people right now to get super clear about the rubble. Because until we clear out the rubble, until we deal with all this stuff, there's no way. There's just no way. There's just no way that we can do, be, and have all that you've called us to do, be, and have. It's just not possible. It's just not possible. So give us the courage to identify and then to clear out the rubble. Thank you, God. Thank you for this. I really feel this was a clarion call today. Really a clarion call. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you've been able to cut through the confusion and bring great clarity about what we need to be doing and what are some of the things that we need to stop doing so that we're available, so that we have the time and the energy and the emotional and physical resources that we need to do, be, and have all that you're calling us to. And I thank you because you're amazing and we love you. And your word is just so powerful. It's not politically correct, but it's powerful. It's powerful for tearing down strongholds, including the strongholds that have been built in our mind in this area that have led to some really unhealthy behaviors and unhealthy patterns. So we thank you, God. We thank you so much. I'm going to end the recording and take your comments. This is going to be an interesting one. I want to hear from you guys. Seriously, did this help you? Did this make you nervous? You can raise your hand. And if you didn't hear the other day, you need to not only raise your hand, you need to make sure that your microphone is green and not gray. So you have to click on your microphone to make sure it is green and not gray. Otherwise, we won't be able to hear you. Does anybody have the courage? Here we go. Robin, you need to make sure your microphone is green and not gray, because right now your microphone is gray. So you need to click on your microphone and make sure it's gray. I mean green. We won't be able to hear you unless your microphone is green. Come back to you. Everybody, if you're going to raise your hand, make sure your microphone is green and not gray. And that happens when you click on it. Anybody? Do we have anybody? Okay. Your microphone has to be green or we won't be able to hear you. Linda, I'm trying to unmute you, but your microphone is gray. Make sure your microphone is green and not gray. Love to hear from you. Love to hear if this spoke to you. Jillian, can you hear me?
Yes.
I hear you too.
Hey.
Do you still love me?
Of course.
What did you get today? What did you get from today? In what way?
I lost my job last year, at the start of the year. And I've just been making many excuses because I wasn't paid for a long time. And I've just been bogged down. And I've been bogged down with my ex-husband's responsibilities. And I've been using that as an excuse not to go out and get another job.
Ah, okay, so this was totally for you. All right, I'm going to pray for you, Jillian. So, Father, we just want to pray for Jillian and for every other person who's right where she is, so bogged down carrying someone else's responsibilities that her own life is just in a holding pattern. And the mountain of rubble and discouragement is mounting. So we pray for every person. I pray especially for Jillian, Lord, that you would give her the courage to begin to step up and step out and to do what she can do to move forward into her destiny. God, that just it's time for her to rebuild. You know what, Jillian? It's really time for you to rebuild. God wants you to rebuild, to partner with him in rebuilding your life. It's time. We're going to begin tomorrow. Listen, everybody. Tomorrow, we are going to begin rebuilding your life, rebuilding your dreams. Tomorrow, we begin to create something beautiful. Tomorrow, we begin a rebuilding project that is going to astonish because God's going to do a quick work, just like he did for Nehemiah. And before you know it, God is going to do something that is worthy of a massive celebration that people will come from miles around and say, how did they rebuild this? How did they rebuild their lives like this? Well, it's with God, all things are possible. We do what we can do, and then God does the impossible. So I thank you, God, that you're going to continue speaking to Jillian and to others about what are those things that they need to, the rubble that they need to deal with, the rubble that they need to clear away so that they can begin this rebuilding project. I pray that she would let go completely of her ex-husband and all of his responsibilities so that she's free to focus on her own responsibilities. And you are able to respond to this unemployment. You are able to respond. God has made you able to respond. You have it within you, and God is going to show you. He's going to show you how. So I thank you, Jillian. I thank you for your courage, and I really bless you today. And I'm so glad that God gave me the courage to preach this with boldness. And we'll try one more and see if you... No, you have to make sure that your microphone is green or we won't be able to hear you. Some of you have your hand raised, but you've got to do both of those things. Mary, I can. You are green. I should be able to hear you. Go for it.
Hi, Donna. The message was definitely for me. I've been enabling for a long time. I've been mother, father, and even over my mom. So when I came to the UK, I've still been taking care of my kids who are grown-up men now. But the situation in Zimbabwe is just so hard. They've got qualifications, but they can't get jobs. Things are just so bad. And I know that's an excuse, but I don't know what to do anymore because I think I've made that to be my excuse where, well, I can't do anything for myself or I can't progress because I'm looking after everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And the other part was when you said, I think I've made excuses and I said, well, I'm not good enough. And I know that God's called me to do stuff, but I've always limited myself and thought, well, I don't have anything to offer. So I've just limited myself in that sense. So yeah, thank you so much for saying what you said today.
I know my daughter has such a heart for your country. She's been to Zimbabwe and really just fell in love with the people. And I know the story there, and it's a tragic history. So let me play. But you're right. Your sons, they need to own their own lives, and God will show them the way forward, and He'll probably show it to them when you get out of the way. So we pray for Mary, Father, and we just ask for your healing touch, and whatever her family. I'm sure there's a lot of loss and a lot of suffering, a lot of pain that they've been through in just the decades and decades of persecution and theft and all that has gone on, all the corruption, and just demonic. I mean, he's just the devil. The president of that country is just demonic. And God, I just pray, Lord, that you would give her a new and a blessed life. And most of all, I pray that she would realize that stepping out of the way is the best thing that she can do for her sons. Because whatever they've lost, you can restore. The Bible doesn't say Mary restores the years that the locust ate. The Bible says that God restores. The Bible shows us that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But God, that you come that they might have an abundant life. Mary can't give them an abundant life. As much as she would like to, as much as she would love to. We would all love to give the people we care about an abundant life. But that's playing God. We're not God. And we can pray and we can intercede, but ultimately we've got to get out of the way, God, so that you can work. And I pray that you would give her the courage to do that. And then, God, I ask you to show Mary and everyone who really identified with that, show her what one skill that she can begin to invest and develop. Because you've given her at least 1,000. Show her some gifts, some talents, some skills, some opportunities that she can begin to develop and to grow and to get better, that she can practice at. And I know you have that for her, and I ask you to bless her and do a new thing in her life. God, you are doing a new thing, and I pray that you would show her that she would be able to perceive it springing up in her life. And I'm so glad that this is hitting home for so many people. I'm going to try one more. Robin, I can hear you now, and I know you suffered a great loss in losing your husband. And tell me where God has you now.
Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Okay. My biggest burden is taking on the responsibility of other people.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm taking care of my mom, and I don't know if it's my responsibility. My dad has to work and support us, so I'm living in his house and taking care of all of the things at the house, my kids. And it just keeps me bogged down.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to pray for you. I think your biggest responsibility as a widow is to recover, heal from losing your husband. Because he was a great guy, right? Your husband?
Yes.
He was a great man. Okay. So that's a huge loss. And I think your biggest job right now is to heal. And I think the devil would like to keep you as busy as he can so that you're not focused on what you really need to do. You really need to focus on healing from your losing your husband. So I'm going to pray about that. So Father, we thank you that you gave Robin a good man that she loved dearly and deeply and passionately. And I know that it left a huge, this is an example of an enormous burden that no one can carry, to be a young widow. And we have quite a number of young widows. And so I'm just asking everyone right now, would you rally around Robin right now? Would you pray for her and even maybe add her if you have a prayer list? Would you add Robin to your prayer list? Because she really does need us. This really is a crushing blow that she suffered. And would you lift her up? Even now, we lift her before the Father. And God, I'm asking you, would you bring her to a place where she can heal? Busy, 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 busy. She needs to face this loss, grieve this loss, and hear from you what's the way forward. What's the way forward? Would you enable her to come away to a quiet place where she can rest? Would you give her an opportunity, God, to just get quiet? I don't know if it's for a weekend. I think you need a weekend away, some kind of a ladies' retreat, something where you can heal and restore and begin to get a new vision for what a new life is going to look like without the man you love by your side. Because there's another chapter. There are many more chapters that God is going to write. And we need to finish the old chapters so that God can take you into the new. So God, we just ask you, be near to her and to all those who are mourning, who've lost a loved one, who've lost a husband, lost a wife, that you would show them the way forward. Amen, amen, amen. See, there's an example. Yep. Somebody really has a big, big burden. Looks like we've got another one. I don't know if I already called on this person. I think I already did. Okay. Okay, let me try another. And then I'll read your comments, too. If those of you want to type your comments, I'll read those, too. This is Deborah. I can hear you already. Deborah, we can hear you. She may have stepped away from her computer. I know we're running late today. These have tended to run long. I'm sorry, but we just get... Okay, let me try this one. We have quite a few people responding today. Dolly, I would love to talk to you, but you are gray. You have to make sure your microphone is green or we won't be able to hear you. We finally figured out what that issue was. Let me hop... And after I've called on you, you can put your hand back down so I'm clear about that. Let me see if there are any comments down here. Robin is praising God that she was able to get through. No, Jesse, pretty wise woman is exact. That's what you need to be focusing on. That's totally the call of God for your life. Pretty wise woman, pretty wise mom. Yes. That you need to run with that. You need to run with that right now. Inch forward. Father, I pray for Jesse. And you gave her that URL. That is what she's supposed to be doing. Pretty wise mom. She needs to move forward. Big time. Labrina says she's with the Nike slogan, just do it. Oh, Lynn says, I'm not tech savvy, but I'm a scrapboarder. So I got out my scrapbook supplies and I'm making my vision board. Well, Jamie says she's got to leave. It was just at the point that you said to stop and do what needs to be done. That's what the replays are for. Yeah. Liz says, I'm writing 1,000 words per day on my book. Good job. KD says, you're talking to me. I don't want to put myself out there due to the idea of failure. Yeah, you're not alone. Thank you for the truth spoken today, Donna. All I can say is, ouch, it hurt, but the truth sets us free, and I want to be free. Yeah, I mean, we're all the same. Left to our own devices, we're all, Millicent told me to preach. Jesse, well, I think this one's for me. I have to listen to this one again and again and again. I'm sure someone told the two diligent ones they were stupid. Yeah, probably the safe guy. What are you thinking over there? Yeah, Melissa says, I have to deal with people, you know, just keep tossing the ball back at me. Yeah, they fear work. Yeah. Yeah, they play, they get better and get promoted. That's it. People don't understand that work is joy. God worked for 6 days and then rested for one. Wow, Chrissy says, I feel like that's how my last year in Australia was, Barros instead of Fortune. Yeah. Reminds me a lot what I have read in the book Boundaries. That's where that teaching is from, Boundaries. Not taking on other people's problems if it's not your way to carry. Yeah, exactly. I've read the book 7 times. I probably need to go read it again. This is something I struggle with in my own life. When you're sexually abused, as I was, most of you know, I was sexually abused beginning at the age of 2, all through my teenage years and actually into adulthood. But that really, at a fundamental level, makes it very hard for you to set boundaries because you're taught that you don't have any boundaries. You're not allowed to say no to anything. So this has been something I've really struggled with. Big time. Maureen says, thank you. I've spent my entire life taking care of other people's responsibilities. And in my personal life, guess what? Hello, I've gotten nowhere. I've gotten sick, down, knocked my knees because of it, but never promote it. Thank you for confirming what I've suspected for some time. I have no reason to feel guilty for allowing people to carry their own daily crosses. Thank you. This is so liberating. Yes, Maureen, it really is liberating. And I pray that you all would receive it as liberating. God is not asking you. Yes, obviously, we're here to serve and not to be served. Obviously, if someone is facing this great crushing burden, yes, of course, we should be there in that crisis. We should be there for those who can't help themselves. But we're not supposed to be carrying other people's rocks. They could do that for themselves. Yeah. At some point, you're not helping people anymore. And I could go into politics, but no, I'm not going to. We're not helping people. We're not helping people by making them helpless. Don't be an enabler. Aleda says, thanks. I really needed to hear this. Fear has gripped my life for years, and I'm pushing through, and I'm going to do what God is encouraging me to do. I trust God, and I know he'll be my strength even when I'm weak. And again, the missing piece for most Christians is that we don't want to develop skill, because skill is tedious. You know, again, Nehemiah, here's your cup, 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 here's your cup. It's tedious. But he got better and better and better at it. I guess, here's your cup, here's your cup, here's your cup, here's your cup. I don't know how he got better at it, but, you know. But skill. Repetition is the mother of skill. Repetition is the mother of skill. So you got to, you know, sports, anything. You got to do it over and over and over and over and over again and get really, really good at it. I wrote a lot of press releases. I wrote a lot of advertisements. I wrote a lot of articles. I wrote a ton of, you know, half my book ends up on the chopping floor. It's okay. I do a ton of writing. And I get better at it. Melissa says, I work with women who are in their 70s and 80s, wanting, still struggling to lose weight and get healthy. These women all have, quote, adult children that held them back from reaching their potential and goals. Melissa, thank you for sharing this. To this day, those, quote, adult children are still interrupting their past, asking for help in their lives. It's crazy. These are, quote, kids in their 40s and 50s. Come on, let your parents live for themselves. Yeah, it's really just a trick of the enemy. And again, I understand sometimes you have to help. If these are tough economic times in America, and some of us have kids, you know, my oldest daughter, she could not work any harder. She's doing everything that she can possibly do, and she's a couple $100 short every month. And so I hire her. She does my grocery shopping. She makes my salads in a jar, and she cooks, and she works for me, and I pay her. And that is the difference. If I didn't think she was busting her butt and doing all that she possibly could do and being as diligent as she could be, I wouldn't have hired her. I would have hired somebody else. But she does a great job. I'll post a picture. She makes beautiful salads and does all my groceries and runs my errands. It's worth it. That's okay. I'm not enabling her. I'm hiring her. Mary says, my sons in Zimbabwe are working to send money for food. The situation, obviously, yeah, you got to pray about that. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Zimbabwe is, you know, you got Robert Mugabe. I mean, he's a devil worshiper. He's a cannibal. He's evil. My daughter wanted to stay in Zimbabwe, and they said, you can't. You can't. It's just too dangerous. They told her, they said, you are a danger to this church because you're white. You have to leave. And she didn't want to leave. She wanted to stay. And they're like, you're putting all of our lives at risk if you stay here. You have to go. She's heartbroken. Heartbroken. So I get it. I have a big heart for that country. Nina says, thank you. This was good. Christy says, ouch, hallelujah. Those ouch, hallelujah moments are always great times to reflect and course correct. Nancy says, this teaching was powerful and enlightening. Thank you so much. Diane says, amazing teaching. I realized that I was taking on things in my marriage that led to his resentment and anger that built up. Yeah. I click on microphone, but nothing is happening. Let me try you, Christy. Hang on. Let me go up. I'd love to hear from you. Da da da. Let me go up and see if anybody has raised their hand. Let me give it a try. Chrissy, can you hear me? Chrissy, I can hear you. It's a really soft. I can.
Like I just wrote, it was just so spot on because I feel like I've just been bogged down about other people's problems, and was just doing all these things that I wasn't even gifted in, just trying to help everyone. And it's kind of like what you were saying, because I got sexually abused as well as a kid, so I know that that plays a big part in my, like, why this is happening. And I feel like God has just been revealing it to me over this last half year more and more, like, why I'm doing the things that I'm doing and, like, how he wants me to change direction. So that's been really, really good.
Well, I really want to pray for you, because here's the deal. The task that God is calling you to is so critical. It is so kingdom significant that the enemy wants to do two things, and he does the same thing in my life. He wants to distract you, and he wants to exhaust you. And this is probably his strategy for a lot of us. He wants to distract us and exhaust us. And he will send people to distract and exhaust. And your mission, Chrissy, is the one you've locked onto. Your mission is equipping people who leave YWAM. That's your mission. And anything that distracts you from that, I wouldn't trust.
But even sometimes in your mission, you can be distracted.
Oh.
I think that's something that I'm so, not worried about, but just thinking about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That I don't get distracted by their problems.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Totally. Easily can happen. So you're going to have to be on guard. You're going to have to be on guard. So, Father, I thank you for Chrissy, and I thank you for your call upon her life. I thank you for her willingness to go. She is one who is willing to go wherever you send her, and willing to stay and to serve and to go and to serve, that it's who she is, Father, that she's willing to lift the burdens. But God, I ask that she would not get bogged down in other people's responsibilities. God, I stand against the enemy's strategy in her life to distract her, to exhaust her, and to get her so bogged down in other people's drama that she cannot focus on the call of God. I pray that you would give her precision that she would have. And Germans are known for precision. And God is calling you to be precise right now. Get in touch with that gift of God to be precise every day, waking up and being precisely on target with what you need to do that day. And that God would give you the precision of a surgeon, because we said yesterday that the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's precise, and it's able to divide soul and spirit. And so God, give her precision to divide what is the Spirit of God calling me to do, and what I feel, and I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, and what if they don't like me anymore, and all that. What is she doing for the approval of man? What is she doing out of fear of saying no, an inability to set boundaries? And what is the Spirit of the living God calling her to do in this critical hour? Father, I pray that you would give her precision in her words, that as she writes this book, actually there won't be a lot of rewriting. God, that every word tells, every word that she puts onto the page is precisely the word that people are going to need to hear. God, that every verse that you give her is precise. You lead her to the precise word from your word that they're going to need to hear, that you would give her the precise illustrations that are really going to minister and speak to students from generations to come. Give her examples that are evergreen, examples that will be as relevant in 2026 as they are today. Timeless truths. Give her timeless truths. God, I ask for your Spirit to begin just hovering over her and really pouring out your word. I ask for a download, God, that she would be able to write quickly and precisely. I don't know if you know this, Chrissy, but you know, I write my books. I wrote Becoming a Vessel God Can Use in 4 days. I wrote the Special Blessings Prayer in 10 days. I wrote Walking in Total God Confidence in 2 weeks. Most of my books come in, you know, maybe 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, very, very quickly. because I just get alone with God and say, God, you give me right now precisely what I need to say. Not a lot of fluff, a lot of nonsense. You know, just give me the power to write with precision so that every word hits its mark. And I pray that for you. I pray that for you, that you would be able to have a season, a writing season, where you're able to really laser focus on this task, because it's so critically important. And don't be that third servant hunkering down, hiding in a napkin. Go ahead and take that leap of faith. Go ahead and announce that you're going to do this coaching program, and then set boundaries. Ask God for the ability to set boundaries. I didn't do that. Well, I'm going to be out with my students, WEU, the first couple of years. Every student was personally emailing me and sending me IMs, and I was answering. I was having correspondence off the Facebook group with all these people. It was crazy making, because I didn't know how to set boundaries. I thought, if somebody emails me, I've got to email them back. If somebody sends me a Facebook message, I got to personally respond. And it really just about killed me. I mean, really did damage to my life. So I'm going to pray for that. You would enable Chrissy to set firm boundaries as she begins this coaching program. You want to talk to Chrissy? Come to the Facebook group. Don't send her an email. Don't send her an IM. A Facebook group. That she would set firm boundaries from day one, so she's not pen pals with 200 YWAM grads talking about their latest boyfriend drama. You know, give her wisdom and courage to set boundaries and to step out in faith and not let the devil tell her, well, it's not perfect. You know, you can't know. You're not ready yet. Not ready yet. Not, no, better bury this in a napkin for, you know, another couple years. It's time. It's time. And you are well able. You are response able. You are able to respond to this need, this urgent need. You are able to respond to it because you've seen it, you've lived it, and you have the answers. And even those answers you don't have, God's going to give them to you. Supernaturally, he's going to give you and show you exactly how to minister to these people in a way that's powerful without sucking the life out of you. That's my prayer for you. I love you and I care so much about you. I think you know that.
Thank you so much.
Yep. You know, I'm very invested in you and what God's doing in and through your ministry, because I know how important it is. I've seen my own, I've seen so many people come home from the mission field and just really, really struggle. And we've got one more. Still lots of people engaging here today. Joanne, can you hear me? I can hear you.
Yes, I can.
Go for it. Yeah.
I just want to thank you. I really felt today definitely with the clarion call, as you stated. Also, that going into Nehemiah is part of that. You know, it's deliverance for the brokenhearted, and then beginning to rebuild. I don't think there's a family, or I especially say a mother, a woman, that has not enabled somebody in their family. And this teaching should be taught early when we're a Christian, actually, in discipleship. And I'm sorry to say, but the church hasn't really covered this well, and I want to thank you for it. Because I know it did. It took a lot for you just to come out. And I know when the Holy Spirit comes on you, praise God. Praise God for it, because he is the Spirit of truth. And I know for myself, I needed to hear this myself. So I want to thank you.
Well, we love you so much. God, I thank you for Joanne, and I thank you for how you've used her in my own life and how you've used her in this ministry. And God, I just say, more Lord, higher anointing. Just release a whole new level of anointing in Joanne's life. More accuracy, even more prophetic accuracy, more time interceding, more time in that ministry of intercession and releasing the word of God and the truth of God into people's lives. More boldness in saying, this is what I believe God is speaking into your life. More boldness in proclaiming the things that you are showing her as she prays for people in the prayer rooms at WEU. Thank you for making her a watchman on the wall here at WEU. And I just say, more Lord. And I was like, zapped. So I really feel like God is just really imparting into your life a greater measure of holy boldness and accuracy in prophetic prayer, accuracy in hearing and perceiving what the Lord is saying to his people. Do we have any more? I think that might be it. This was a great one. I'm just going to hop through real quick. Francis, wow, painful, but something I needed to hear. Yeah, Nancy says, you know, it enabling cripples people. We cripple them. We're not helping. That's the thing. We're crippling them. Responsibility empowers. Yes, this is good. Enabling cripples. Responsibility empowers. So if we love them, you know, God kick him out of the nest. Jamie, totally awesome. Thank you. I have a lot of rubble to clean up. I didn't even realize it, but it really spoke to me. I've been so bogged down with other people's responsibilities. I couldn't find the time to do what God calls me to do. Yes. Yeah. Exactly. And the enemy's doing it. I think now it's seeming like everybody. Another, I enable a lot of people, but I need more clarity as far as being a caregiver, how to let the loved one do what he can and cannot do. Yeah, you need wisdom. Very sober word. I'm nervous, but it's all true. I've got a lot of work to do. I need help to rebuild. I'm moving forward with you. Bullseye in Jesus, right to my heart. Victoria. Geraldine, on target. I've been emotionally crippled by carrying the responsibilities of those I love. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This was God. I'm complicit in this problem. Another, I'm frustrated, but believing is still perfect, but you are praying for those burdened with others. I have been overly responsible for others' responsibilities. Mm-hmm. Yep. I feel that. I wonder if I overdo it for others because I was trained up to do this. Yeah, of course. Yeah, we do too much and not just the essential because it covers fear that we're inadequate. That's me. You're just talking about me. That's exactly what I do. I do way too much. And I have someone in my life who's always confronting me. She's like, Donna, you do way too much for your students. It's crazy. You do too much for people. Stop, because you're not fooling me. You're doing it because you're afraid that you're inadequate. You're afraid that if you do a reasonable amount of work, that it just won't be enough and people won't love you. I struggle with all the same stuff. Everything I teach you is out of what God's dealing with me. I'm right there with you. Right there with you. Self-doubt, absolutely. Inability to get the vision, even though I've accomplished so much and been celebrated. Still doubting. Yeah, I think we're clones over there. Sandy, the part about God commends risk hit me hard. Playing it safe is not God's voice. I knew that was for somebody. Yeah. Thanks so much for that revelation. Yeah, God is not the voice that says play it safe. That is not God. I'm not sure what Dolly, I'm not sure what you're trying to say. Denise said, thank you for praying for the widows. Yeah, God, we do have a lot of widows. Yeah, Chrissy's resonating. Linda says, I'm learning so much from how you explain different things. I especially appreciate it, the explanation of being response-able. Mm-hmm. Saying no is empowering for me when I know it's not my responsibility. Paula says, Donna, you're definitely talking to me. I've wasted so many years because I haven't been diligent. Thank you for helping me push through to develop skill. Yeah, and Paula, not just you. Mm-mm. The vast majority of Christians. And it's interesting because you don't see it in the world as much. It's a characteristic of the church that we really, we don't emphasize enough how important it is to develop skill. I don't think people understand that parable of the talents, that ability isn't natural talent. Ability is what you've done with that talent. And maybe you didn't even have talent, but you developed skill. I mean, I give you the example of all the athletic things I've done. I have no talent at all. None whatsoever. Zip, zero, zilch, nada. Most unathletic person you would ever meet. But I've developed some skill. Valerie, been very helpful. I've been bogged down with other people's responsibilities. I never saw this as a trick of Satan to keep me bogged down from doing what God wants. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Joy says, it's such confirmation for me. So grateful for the scripture to back it up. For so long, I've helped others through the Holy Spirit to see how they're enabling their husbands, wives, and kids. But, you know, then we got to apply to ourselves, right? Letting go of control, holding on to false identities, wife, mother, daughter, getting in God's way. But I struggled with seeing it in myself. Yep. Yep. Good word. Okay, I think we're probably going to wrap. Speaking of going so far above and beyond, we're into the second hour. I hate to go. Allison says, this message was really eye-opening. Thank you. Looking forward to rebuilding my life. Joanne says, it's a clarion call for his brokenhearted with deliverance and rebuilding. Aleda says, I want to write a book this year and start a coaching or mentoring program along with teaching and speaking. Yeah, it's time. It's time. That's why you're here. It's time. A lot of you, if you feel called to that, take my Take Your Message to the World program. Really good. Okay. Dolly is trying to, let me see if I'm going to scroll up, Dolly, and see if I can find you. It's not showing your hand raised. You have to raise your hand so I know you want to talk. And then your microphone is also set on gray. So I'm not able to call on you. But we're learning. You know, we're on day 11. We'll get better at all the technology. I love you guys. Let's go ahead and wrap it there. We'll see you on the Facebook group. Love you.